On today's program, Andrew Womack will inspire you to reach out and take the healing that is yours in Jesus Christ. God wants you well, and that's the gospel truth. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the gospel truth. Today, I'm continuing to talk about healing. We're into our fifth week on this. I've covered a lot of materials, and let me just mention at the beginning of the program that if you've missed any of this, or even if you've heard it, you really need to get these materials. I believe that because not only is it good for you to go back over it, you aren't going to hear people teach on healing the way that I do most of the time. Most people, in my estimation, of course, I don't mean this as a put down, but they just aren't as strong. They might believe that God can heal, but they waffle on it. And I tell you, I believe that you got to get some things answered. And the things that I've been teaching in this series are things that you need to hear over and over and over. If you aren't sick right now, I can guarantee you, sooner or later, some type of sickness or problem is going to come against you, and you will need this as a resource. Plus, I know that every one of you know people who are sick and people who want to receive and just don't know how. And these teaching materials, we've got an entire package of materials. I call it a better healthcare package, that have these DVDs, testimonies that we've used, the teaching, a lot of different type of things. It will help you to minister to other people. So I want to encourage you to please get it. And I certainly hadn't got time to go back and reiterate everything that I've taught. But we're talking now about why isn't everyone healed? And we've based a lot of this teaching on Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus told his disciples, it's because of your unbelief. And I've been sharing that there were three sources of unbelief: ignorance, wrong teaching, and then just natural unbelief. And Jesus said this kind, talking about an unbelief that just comes through your natural senses. You see something contrary to what you believed for, and you are naturally going to have a thought or a feeling of unbelief. That kind of unbelief only comes out by prayer and fasting, and that's what I've been talking about. And basically, I've said that the reason that our sense knowledge is so dominant and it's so hard for us to believe that something is happening that we can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel, it's just because we've put so much effort into listening in the natural realm. I believe that this generation of people is probably more sense knowledge, sense oriented than possibly any other group of people that have ever walked on the earth. And a lot of it's because of television, radio, internet, iPod, iPhones, all of this media and communication. We are just plugged in and we are so occupied that there is no time to sit still and know that He is God. Psalms 46:10. We don't sit on our porch much anymore and just sit there and think and allow ourselves to start having input from the Holy Spirit and being influenced by what we feel in our heart. We're just completely dominated. There's always some noise or something going on. And it has just, in a sense, made us one of the most sense-dominated, carnal group of people that I think have ever walked on the face of the earth. And when it comes to believing God for things, it's going to take some effort and some time away from the physical, natural input. You can't just have headphones on or earplugs in your ear and constantly be listening to something. You're going to have some time where you listen with your heart, where you study the Word, where you pray, where you fast, and you take your attention away from this natural realm and you begin to start developing your spiritual senses. You can see with your heart. You can hear with your heart. You can feel things with your heart that you can't feel naturally. There is a spiritual world, but it takes time. And so one of the things that I've been saying the last few days is that we have put so much time into the natural realm that we are being dominated by the natural realm. If we want to have spiritual, supernatural results, we are going to have to turn off some of the input in the natural. We are going to have to start separating ourselves and focusing our attention on things that can't be seen with your physical eyes, that you have to see it with your heart. We're going to have to listen with our heart to things that you can't hear with your physical ears. And having something constantly going in your physical ears will hinder you from hearing with your heart. You have to get quiet and still before God to be able to hear. So these are the points that I've been making, and this is one of the reasons that people aren't healed. Now, of course, there's people that don't believe it's God's will to heal. There are people that believe God put sickness on you to teach you something. But then there are some people who believe it's God's will. They have a little bit of faith. They know some things, but they still aren't seeing it happen. And I think that one of the dominant reasons for those people who know that God heals, they have enough knowledge about healing that they may have seen some healing happen, but they don't see it happen consistently. It's because they're just too in tune with the world. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things have entered in and choked the Word of God that was in their life. Boy, those are profound statements right there. But that is really powerful. Let me take Abraham as an example. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 11. And if you can receive it, this is one of the greatest revelations that I think God has given me. I use this constantly, and it is just powerful information. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's talking about all these mighty men and women of faith who did these things that were supernatural, how they were able to get beyond just natural results and get supernatural results and how they did it. And it's talking about Abraham and Sarah and how that God called them to leave their home, to leave their kindred, to drop everything and go out to a place that He would show them later. They didn't know exactly where they were going. That was faith. And so it says this in Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 15, it says, "And truly, had they been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." Now that, to most people, is not one of the scriptures that they've underlined in their Bible. But I tell you what, that is a powerful statement. This is talking about that God told them to leave their country and to go out, and He would show them another place later. And it says, if they had been mindful. The word mindful just means their mind full of thinking about the country that they left, they would have had opportunity to return. For Abraham and Sarah, opportunity to return was talking about temptation, sin, because God told them to forsake it. And so for them to go back to where God told them to forsake would have been sin. It would have been a temptation. And this is saying that their temptation, their opportunity to return, was linked to what they think. Since they did not think about the country that they left, and you can see this in Abraham's actions, because once he left, he never went back. And when it came time for his son Isaac to seek a wife, the Lord had told him not to mingle with the people of that land because He was going to eradicate them and put the Jews in there and displace them. So these people were, He was not to have his son marry with them, and he would not allow his son to go back to where he came from. He wouldn't go back himself. He sent a servant to go back and get a wife for his son. And what that indicated was he had severed those ties. He had cut the cords. He had burned the bridges behind him. He would not go back. And so he was not thinking on the land that he left, or if he had, he would have been tempted to go back. And so here is a great statement. All of these things that I just said, the Lord kind of distilled it down into this phrase that has made a huge impact on my life. You can't be tempted with something that you don't think. Therefore, don't think on anything that would allow temptation to come, and guess what? You won't be tempted. And from this, I got to thinking. I said, well, I could be a great man of faith if I wasn't tempted to think any unbelief. And so instead of me just trying to build faith and build faith and build faith, and at the same time sit over here and just let the sewage of this world flow through my mind, all of their criticism, all of their junk, all of the bad things. Instead of doing that, I've now realized that when I got born again, God gave me supernatural faith, and I've got faith. The problem isn't that I don't have faith. And I've got a knowledge of the Word that has caused my faith to work in certain areas, and I believe I have the faith to do whatever God calls me to do. But what I wasn't doing in the past was I would just allow this unbelief of the world to come at me, and it diluted and it counterbalanced and negated my faith. Now what I've come to do is I try and focus on God so much. I don't listen to anything that would minister unbelief to me. And according to these verses, you can't be tempted with what you don't think. So I don't think on anything that ministers unbelief, and guess what? I don't have as much unbelief come against me as most of you watching this television, because I intentionally, deliberately try and limit the inroad of unbelief. I don't let unbelief be spoken around me. I don't listen to it. I don't use it for entertainment. And I don't think that most of us recognize how full of unbelief our world is. You know, just, I think it was either this morning or last night, I forget, but anyway, I was driving home and I turned on the radio just to listen to some news and try and find out if, you know, we'd gone to war or what was going on. I like to listen to the radio news because it's not graphic. It doesn't grab my attention as much as if you watch it on television. Plus, if I don't like it, it's only 2 or 3 minutes instead of a whole 30-minute broadcast on television, and you get just the real highlights, and if there's something I want to know more about, I can go figure it out and find it out. So I try and listen, try and figure out what's going on by listening to radio news, but when I turned it on, there was some kind of a commercial coming on about eyesight and saying something about macular degeneration, and if you're a certain age, and you know what? Most people wouldn't even think about this, but the scripture tells me that Moses was 120 years old and his eyesight wasn't dim nor his natural force abated. And the New Testament says that what we have as believers is greater than what Moses had. So if Moses, under an inferior covenant, could have strong eyesight without glasses at 120 years old, that's what I'm believing for. And I used to have to wear glasses back when I was a teenager, and yet I believed God, and I've gotten healed, and I can read this small print without glasses. I haven't had any LASIK surgery done on me. I'm walking in health, and my eyesight have gotten a lot better. I'm believing God for supernatural eyesight. So for me, because I'm believing for that, to hear people talk about that when you hit a certain age, you're supposed to start having macular degeneration and that you're going to have prostate problems and that you're going to have this. And have you heard about the flu yet? Have you gotten your flu shot? And just on and on and on, all that goes. You know what that is? That's unbelief. And I know that there's many of you that would disagree with that and say, well, no, that's just people just talking about ways to deal with things. That's not unbelief. But you know what? It causes you to start thinking, well, I'm over 50. I wonder if I should start expecting this. See, that's a thought that I don't want to have. I'm not going to go there because God promised me good eyesight. And because I don't let anybody talk about sickness around me. I don't think about it. I don't listen to advertisements about it. And I said out loud when they said that, I said, no, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. And by His stripes I'm healed. Moses had strong eyesight at 120. I'm going to have it. And I turned the radio off and I started speaking truth and speaking over myself. You can ask my wife anytime we're driving along and if somebody goes to saying something that's contrary to what I believed, I've countered it right then. Because the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, it says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, thus saith the Lord. Notice it says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And then in the next phrase, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. I believe that the way Satan comes against you, the weapons that he uses are words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Unbelief comes by hearing negative words. And if you hear words that are contrary to what God said about you, it will open you up to the thoughts that you shouldn't think about. You will think about something that God told you to leave, something that's not for you. And you cannot be tempted with something that you don't think. And so when a weapon comes against me, when a word comes against me, the scripture says I have to condemn it. That means that I negate it. I cancel it. And I've learned this, that if I'll cancel it right then it's like that thing never takes root on the inside of me. But if I let people speak unbelief around me and I'm afraid or I don't want to offend anybody, and so I just sit there and let all this trash be dumped on the inside of me, and then I get home and I try and get all of this out of me, it's going to take hours. I'm going to have to pray. I'm going to have to renew my mind. It's going to take a while for me to get this junk out. But the moment it comes, if I'll just counter it, it's over. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't even affect me. So you can ask my wife. We'll be driving along and they'll come on with a commercial about something. It's flu season. Have you gotten your flu shot yet? And I'll sit there and know in the name of Jesus, I cancel this. I condemn that word. I don't get the flu. I don't believe in the flu. I know some of you, I've said this before, but some of you think I'm weird, but I think you're weird. And you know what? It's now been 41 years. I've only had sickness one time because of stupidity, because I ministered 82 times in 2 weeks. And I just physically wore myself down and I just ran out of steam and had to stay in bed for a few days. And that's the closest to being sick I've been in 41 years. Until you get better results than I'm getting, maybe you're the one that's weird. Maybe you're the one that's not receiving this very well. I'm telling you that I believe that this is the way that Jesus lived. And this is the way that Jesus was advocating his disciples live. This is the way that Abraham lived. You know, it goes on to say in these next few verses after it talked about how that he was not mindful of the country that he left. In verse 16, it says, "But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Have you ever thought about this? Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. It was a miraculous birth, and he had been waiting for 25 years. It was a long time coming. And when Isaac was finally born, somewhere around 17 years old, Abraham would have been around 117. God told Abraham to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, I don't fully understand that. I certainly can't fully explain it. But nonetheless, it was a huge test of his faith. How could he do this? I've tried to do it. I've actually thought that the New Testament says what I have is better than what he had, and so I ought to be able to do this. And in my imagination, I've just thought about, what if God asked me to sacrifice as a burnt offering one of my sons? Would I be willing to follow God and do that? And I just have to be honest with you. I tried my best to muster up all the faith I had, and I thought, I just can't do it. And you know why? Because I thought about what it would be like to actually kill your son, to offer him as a sacrifice, to go back and tell Jamie, and she says, "Where's Joshua or Peter?" And I say, "Oh, I offered him as a sacrifice," to see her reaction, for me to deal with losing a son. And, you know, I just thought about all of this stuff. And because I thought on those things, unbelief, fear, hurt, pain, sorrow, grief came and hindered my faith. And so I just couldn't see myself doing that. But how did Abraham do it? Notice it says here that he offered up his son in verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, in verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. This tells you what he was thinking. Abraham, see, didn't think the way that I thought. Abraham didn't see Isaac dead. Abraham didn't see himself going back and telling Sarah, "I killed our son." Abraham didn't see himself with his son that he loved with all of his heart dead and gone. It says he accounted that God was going to raise him up from the dead. He had a promise from God that through Isaac, he was going to have children so numerous it was going to be like all of the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the seashore. And that hadn't happened yet. Isaac wasn't married yet. And therefore, that meant Isaac had to live. And so, when he got this, he didn't understand all of the details how it was going to happen, but he knew Isaac was going to live. And if you went back to Genesis chapter 22 and read it, when he went to Mount Moriah, he left the servants at the base of the mountain, and Isaac went up, and he told the servants, he says, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again." He didn't say, "We will go and I will come back by myself." He said, "We will go and come again." And according to this verse, somehow Abraham knew Isaac was going to live, even if God had to raise him up from the dead. And so, since Abraham never thought about what it would be like to be without his son, since Abraham never thought about having to tell Sarah that I killed our son, since Abraham never thought about the negatives, he never was tempted with that unbelief. Well, I could be a great man of God if I was never tempted to not believe. See, Abraham wasn't greater in faith than what I am. The real thing that made Abraham strong was that he was against unbelief. Abraham didn't listen to the junk that we are overwhelmed with today? I think that one of the reasons that God gave him this promise in the 15th chapter of Genesis about count the stars in the sky. If you can number them, that's how numerous your children are going to be. Count the grains of sand on the seashore. That's how many children you're going to have. I think one of the reasons that the Lord gave him those two examples is because he didn't live in a house the way that I do. He was in a tent. At night, he would sit out and look up at the stars. So at night, he would think about God's promise. During the day, he didn't have cowboy boots the way that I've got them. He wore sandals. He got dirt on his feet. And every day, he had to clean the sand off of his feet. So during daylight, he was just overwhelmed with sand and dirt all around him. At night, he saw the stars. And so day and night, he was constantly thinking about, that's how numerous my children are going to be. 24 hours a day, 25 years thinking, I'm going to have this many children. He just thought about it all the time. And he didn't have somebody coming along on the television and saying, you old fool, you're 100 years old. You can't do this. He didn't have the internet to look up and say, has anybody ever had a child this old? He didn't know but what somebody might have been able to do that. He didn't have people telling him all of this stuff. He was just so focused on God, he got to a place that all he did was think on what God said, and he didn't know how to disbelieve God. You have to be taught to be as full of unbelief as what we have in our generation. And I know that to a lot of people that is a radical statement, and we think, oh, I wasn't brought up in unbelief. It's because our perspective, our starting point, what we consider normal is so far substandard that most of us don't even know how far off the mark we are. But you know, through this series, I've been trying to show that Jesus in the 17th chapter of Matthew, when his disciples couldn't heal this boy, he was disappointed. He says, you faithless and perverse generation, this isn't what I intended. You should be able to do this. We ought to be seeing healings today. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. We ought to be seeing the same works that Jesus did. We ought to be seeing blind eyes open, deaf ears open. Is there anybody watching this program that doesn't know somebody that's sick that needs to be well? If you know anybody that's sick, you ought to be seeing them get well. Now, they have a part to play with it. I'm not saying it's just automatic, but that's one of the things, and we ought to be expecting more. But see, we've embraced a substandard life. We even write songs in the Christian realm about, Lord, I'm only human. I'm just a man. That's wrong. I'm not only human. If you're born again, you aren't only human. You are wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. In the inside, in the spirit man, you are a new creature, and you have the ability to see the dead raised and blind eyes open. And we need to recognize that what we have accepted as normal and natural, this substandard, weak, powerless life, is not the abundant life that Jesus died to purchase for us. And we need to up our expectancy. We need to start focusing on God and withdrawing from this world that tries to draw us down and teach us that you can't. You know, I'm out of time. But we're going to continue our teaching, so I encourage you to join me again. But listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get all of these materials. Remember, we have a better health care package. So listen and then call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs. Or you can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Healthcare Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The third teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? Is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, there's a lot of material that I have on the healing, and this package that we've put together called a Better Healthcare Package is, of course, going to help you, but you could even go beyond that. And on our website, I have all of this teaching that I'm doing on television about healing right there. You can watch those free of charge on our website. There's also a lot of material. I've got over 300 of my teachings available as free MP3 downloads. We've got daily devotionals. We've got a lot of materials. It is a tremendous site. And if you really are wanting to know about healing, I tell you, it'll make a big difference. Plus, we got this brand new book. So please check out our website. The address is right there on the screen.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar next week, May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 28th through the 31st. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd, and in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
My dad was a Southern Baptist preacher, and he committed suicide when I was 5 years old. And I didn't really understand his death at the time, but I know I kind of got mad at God. Got really mad at God, actually. I decided that I was going to run from God and I was never going to let anybody have that much control to hurt me that much ever again.
If God's expecting you to bear all things, God Himself will bear all things. If God is expecting you to love, believe at all times, then you know what? God will believe in you at all times, regardless of how many stupid things we do.
That's tomorrow on the Gospel Truth.